Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Amen. Please be seated. Excuse me, that long reading dried me out a little bit. I believe the lectionary is getting us ready for Holy Week and all the passion narratives that we will read. This gospel makes me think of one of my least favorite sayings in the world. God won't give you more than you can handle. That one makes me crazy. I don't believe in that God. I don't think that God is true to the gospel. That God would make a person blind from birth to prove a point or to make someone stronger. And that isn't the God of love whom I know. The God of love that I know loves us all so much and wants us to be whole and healthy. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, I understand the impulse behind that saying, God won't give you more than you can handle. It's meant to be comforting. As a matter of fact, it's often said in those moments when we don't know what to say, right? It's meant to affirm that God has a plan for your life. God does have a plan for your life, but it's about so much more than the details of your physical being. God's plan is bigger than that. God's plan for us is to be with us. You and I are who we are because we come out of the genetic and environmental lottery that makes up our being human in a particular way in this place and time. God put that system in place in creating the world, but I don't believe that God manipulates it in the way that disciples are hinting about in their question about the blind beggar in our gospel reading. This man who was blind from birth was not made to be blind because of what he had done or what his parents had done. Jesus is explicit in saying that in our gospel reading. Moreover, I'm convinced that Jesus does not say that the man was born blind in order for God to be glorified, as it is translated in our New Revised Standard Version that I just read. The original Greek text of this verse has no punctuation, no sentences that we can define. Those are imposed on the text by our translators because we have a need to make sense not only of a foreign language, but of a foreign syntax, a different way of ordering language. I offer this alternative translation. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Period. But in order that God's works might be revealed in him, comma, we ought to work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. The disciples asked a question about a relationship between sin and physical malady, blindness. And as Jesus so often does, he answers a different question. He responds with the answer of who Jesus is and why. And as Jesus does throughout the first 12 chapters of this gospel, he will reveal through his actions that he is who he says he is. I am the light of the world. And then he heals a man who cannot see light. Jesus says through his actions, healing this man, I am sent to bring light to those who cannot see light. And notice the pool of cleansing water, Siloam, is also called sent. The one who is sent from God the Father is clearly meant to be identified with the healing water from the pool called sent. And the healing that occurs in is that this man who could not see now not only sees, but he begins to understand who did this to him. You'll notice that throughout this drama, as it unfolds, the man who had been blind is questioned again and again about what happened to him and who did it. And with each interrogation, the man becomes clearer and clearer in his witness about what has happened. He moves from saying, "Well, I went and washed, and I received my sight." Then he identifies Jesus as a prophet. And then he moves on. He says, "If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." When the religious authorities drive him out, Jesus comes to find him. This is important. Jesus comes to find him. Jesus asks, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Of course, he answered, "Who is that? Tell me." Jesus says, "It's me, the one who healed you." And the man who had been blind said, "Lord, I believe." And then he worships. He worships Jesus. The man who was blind believes Jesus and sees. In this instance, we don't say that seeing is believing. We say that believing is seeing. The light has come into the world in order that those who do what is true may come into the light. Coming into the light of belief is to live in the kingdom of God under the authority, the sovereignty of belief in God. And whatever we do in the light of belief in God reveals God's work in us. Or, as the Pauline author of the letter to the Ephesians says, fruit of the light, all that is good and right and true, begin to be manifested in us. We who see by faith walk as children of light, exposing unrighteous divisions to the disinfecting light of Christ. Those things that come between us, when they are exposed to the light of Christ, dissolve away. When we try to find what is pleasing to the Lord, we will also find ourselves producing fruit that overcomes the barriers and distinctions, eliminating those invisible walls that separate us one from the other. Those fruits have been described by Paul in another of his letters: love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and my favorite, because I always forget it, self-control. These fruits are ours when we open our eyes to see and believe the one who is the light of the world. And when we open our eyes and claim the fruits of light, we're no longer who we once were. The man who was healed in our gospel is no longer the one who was blind. He has a new identity. He is the man who now sees. In our baptismal identity, whatever we have been in the past, we are now children of light, children of God. We each carry our past, good and bad, into the future. but we do so with the assurance that the hurts and the sorrows, the mistakes, the regrets, the divisions that have marked us may describe us, but they do not define us. For we are now God's beloved children. The resurrection of Jesus teaches us that God's love is more powerful than our spiritual myopia or the world's darkness. Jesus calls us forward into the light, into the pure sun of righteousness shining on our path. And Jesus comes to find us, to ask us, "Do you believe?" Jesus comes to find us, leading us into God's plan for us, God's plan to be with us, loving us, and teaching us how to walk as children of light.